This is being taped, but I hope I'm not held accountable for it otherwise, because I'm putting it in my own words the way I see it, and the way I really want to communicate to you in the framework of what we're trying to communicate today. The Navigators are an international, interdenominational Christian organization headquartered in Colorado Springs, with missionaries in approximately 30 countries around the world, with approximately 1,050 staff members. Its staff is generally non-clerical, though there is no criterion one way or the other for a staff person, whether they be ordained or not. Its objective is to contribute to the Great Commission by raising up multiplying laborers around the world as God gives opportunity. To put this latter in different terms would be expressed in Colossians 1, 27 and 28 in the Phillips translation, where it says, "So naturally we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet and teach everyone we can all that we know about Christ, so that if possible we may bring every man up to his full level of maturity in Christ." So to share Christ and see people brought to reproductive maturity wherever possible, that they can be a functioning part of the body of Christ wherever God puts them, is the commission of God to the Navigators to fulfill. So that describes what, who, or what is the Navigators as pertains to an organizational thing.
Do you want to just sit at the table together with me? These folks can see us. We can kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, besides, it's more comfortable if we sit down.
Well, I'm really glad to be here with Elvin and to have a chance to speak as a pastor concerning the Navigators and all. If I were to say what the church is, I have to say that the church is an international movement, ageless, headed over by the Lord Jesus Christ, headquarters in heaven, and it has the eternal purposes of God in it. Completely different than the Navigators, in that the Navigators are part of it, so that they fit together. Jesus said that he was the creator of the church. Matthew 16, verse 18, "I will build my church. I will build my church." And the church, I believe, began at Pentecost, and Jesus at that point began to put together that church as the risen Christ. And we have not only the church as a creation of Christ called the new man. Paul talks about the church as the new man, and God's new man. But also then it's an organism, and it's a growing thing. There's got to have to be a lot of needs for growing, a lot of abilities, a lot of tools, a lot of feeding methods for growing. So the church is in need of the Navigators and of all kinds of discipleship ministry. The church is a fellowship. We call it a koinonia. The word koinonia means the sharing of your common life, or the sharing of your life together. It's the total exposure of your life to that other believer. It's probably that is an area of the church which has been little realized, the actual fellowship within the body. It's made up of boys and girls, young people, mothers and dads. The church spreads the lifespan. It's made up of crippled people and spiritually crippled, and it's made up of people who are strong. The church is made up of all kinds. It's organized on a local basis in various ways. There are the counterfeits of the church, because anything that's worth having is worth counterfeiting. And so there's counterfeit churches. But the local body of Christ is the one to whom the epistles of Paul are written. Local assemblies of God, or local churches of believers. And the church is expressed not so much the corner building as in the gathering of the saints. When it gathers, it's to fellowship, but its highest work is to worship. One of the things that the church provides for all of us, whatever our organization may be, is that we have a place for worship. The Father seeks such to worship him, said Jesus. The church is the place where people gather, or a gathering of people, for primarily worship of God. The greatest need of your soul and my soul is to worship God. The greatest need that we can possibly, the highest performance that we can give to God, the highest task we can give him, is to worship. One of the last things we learn to do is to worship, to really worship God. So the church is kind of an umbrella of all the children of the Lord, various theological persuasions, and some of us are kooky, and some not, and some are ill and underfed, and some are delightfully healthy in the church. So
I was thinking, as Ray was talking about the area of worship, Tozer's statement that the highest and greatest thought that man can have is his thoughts of God. And as we worship God and have those thoughts of God, we're in the greatest and highest realm we can have. Or it's sort of like several years ago when Dr. Billy Graham was back at Harvard, there were three other theologians with him at the time, and they were being asked various questions, and Billy Graham was the only one really who was receiving much of a response. And I'm trying to think of the name of the Swiss theologian and philosopher who was there.
Thielicki?
No, he's dead now.
Bart?
Yes,
Karl Barth.
Barth.
Yeah.
And so toward the end of the time, someone from the audience, one of the students, asked Dr. Bart what was the greatest thought that ever entered his mind. Greatest thing he ever thought about. There was about 5 minutes of silence. You know, it was embarrassing. You know, they said anything and sat there. And so finally the student said, well, Dr. Bart, perhaps you didn't hear my question. And he repeated and said, oh, yes, I heard it. He sat there for another couple of minutes. And then he said, well, I guess the greatest thought that ever entered my mind was this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Yes.
You know, that, the thoughts of God, that's where it's at. So I thought of that when you mentioned that, Ray. So then we want to talk about, well, who makes up the navigators? I like to put this into three components. First of all is staff. That's what we call W-2 form navigators. We're paid by the navigators. And in this, there are three basic breakdowns. Those who are involved in the organizational leadership. For example, we have people here from our headquarters who are involved in the organizational leadership. Then, secondly, we have support staff, people who are involved in keeping those who are out in the confrontations with people, as we call the public ministry, keeping us going, you know, the people who handle the finances and that type of thing. Most of those are, again, centered at our headquarters. And then third on the staff are what we call area staff people. They go from the divisional or regional directors on down to the area representatives and contacts. And those who are actually out working in the head-on confrontations with the world and doing the actual job of raising up the disciples. Then in the second great level are the area team leaders. These are those who co-labor with us to do the things that God has laid upon our heart of making disciples. Now, many of these people will be involved within the local church, on a campus, military base, but people who are growing in their committal to the Lord, are being disciples, or are disciples, and are reaching out to others. And in effect, these are really the people who do the major part of the ministry. You know, this is sort of the common denominator of the Navigator ministry, these team leaders. Then the third realm really is anyone who is working at the job of developing disciples. Really, scripturally, is a navigator, because we feel that's our calling from God, is to fulfill the Great Commission by raising up disciples. So anyone really who does that fulfills that description of a navigator. So everyone who, for example, attends this conference because they have that desire is a navigator, because that's where it's really at.
Well, you know, when I think of who makes up the church, I don't believe there's such a thing as a church until it seems to me from New Testament norm there are elders and fathers in the church. When Paul wrote to Titus, he said in Titus 1:5, I left you in Crete that you might mend what was defective and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. The establishment of a church requires fathers in the Lord who are men of God with certain qualifications. Some are the teaching kind of elders, and some are the ruling elders of the church. I think this is one of the things that comes to me as I remember Francis Schaeffer's book on the church in the 20th century. As he felt, you know, as he mentioned that book, well, what are the irreducible minimums in making up a church? And he said, well, the one is that there be elders in the church, like Alvin is an elder at Lake Avenue Church in that sense, so we don't call him that, but that's true. That there be men of God who gather together, meet together to plan and to care for the body of believers that are with them in this ministry. And I am an elder in the church, and I'm sure that many of you are as well in that capacity. And so that one of the things that it has to be to make up a church, it isn't buildings, or it isn't denominations, or it isn't superstructure. It's simply the fact that there are men of God who are the fathers in that, over that group of people, who meet qualifications to gather them together for teaching and worship and ministry. You see, that's why, for instance, the church needs the NAVs, and that's why the NAVs needs the church, because the church is completely different in that it's the whole bag, as it were, of human range of ages and conditions, and the NAVs are somewhat, if I could say it, kind of hard-nosed, hardcore. We sort of like to think of each other as that, don't we? Commandos, who are willing to be hardened for God and to do discipleship, make disciples. You don't have that altogether in the church. But there's got to be that basic minimum of elders in the church and people gathering to worship and to celebrate the Lord's Supper and to bring people into fellowship through baptism, preaching, and so on. So that's what I would say, that kind of clarifies things there.
Well, what is the prime ministry of the navigators? This has been kicked around for several years, by the way, as to why don't the navigators become a church? Or why do not the navigators establish churches? Because the Great Commission involves the establishment of local churches. And so in our stated objective, we state in there that we do not to fulfill the Great Commission, but to help fulfill the Great Commission by raising up disciples. As in our job in working cooperation with the local churches, as they commission us to go out, I'm commissioned by Lake Avenue Church, for example, to the Ministry of the Navigators in Los Angeles. And in that, as we disciple people, we feed them back into the fellowship of the church. And then the churches that establish churches, where they go, the navigators do not do that. But a lot of people wonder why we don't. That was not our commission from God. Is to make disciples and then to feed them back into the fellowship of believers, and then the churches establish the churches. So with that in background, then, we have to consider, well, what is the prime ministry of the navigators? This is threefold, and these are co-equal. I'll give them in a different order just because they have to be presented some way, but there's one's not greater than the other, even though sometimes it may seem that our emphasis is strongest on the first. And it really is not intended to be that way. I think it's just kind of one of the laws of life. And that is to develop navigator staff for worldwide ministry. Just because God is blessing what we're doing and the opportunities around the world are opening up, there needs to be a staff development. People who can go out and God calls them and gifts them for the navigator ministry. And there needs to be a development of that. Secondarily, There needs to be the building and channeling of people into the ministry, that is, as ordained ministers, men, women, well, men, women in the Christian ed field, better qualify that, but who will go into the ministry, that end, and also people who go out as missionaries with other organizations. And then thirdly, to help build disciples to be effectively involved within that the framework of their local church, do the thing for which God has uniquely called us, of helping to build disciples, that they can do that same thing within the framework of their local church. So those seem to be the three prime areas of ministry of the navigators.
And in the church, we as I said before, we have what we call at Lake Avenue Church three priorities that we've decided that we would live with, and everything would have to fit into these three priorities. And one is that our first priority is God Himself, and that we are to live with God, we are to love God, we are to worship Him, we are to focus our lives in His presence, that God Himself is the first priority. So in our church, the first main business is Godward. It's never selfward or manward or worldward. It's Godward. The second priority that we have is, as you know, the first commandment, say that the commandment Jesus said summed them all up was to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and so on. And then the second was like to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so that the second priority that we have established at Lake Avenue Church is the priority of the body of Christ. Our the first person we are responsible for is God. Second, we are responsible for each other in the body. And the third thing we're responsible for is the world. Now, we get that all screwed up many times because we often get the ministry first, and then we give God time as we have as we can make it. And then we help each other as long as the other people don't get in the way, you know. And, for instance, this is one of the big hang-ups in mission work around the world. It's one of the big hang-ups in the, really, and a person gets out of their car on a Sunday morning and comes to teach Sunday school, comes in from the parking lot, and the first thing that someone says is not, "How are you, Mrs. Brown, and how are your kids, and how's your husband?" But rather, "Did you remember to bring that list of students that you were supposed to brought?" You know, it's ministry. First thing we approach a person on many times is the area of ministry, rather than, "Well, I love you, you're part of the body, and how are you today?" And so that we often forget really what are the order of things for our lives, the order of importance. God first, the church is to God. It's for worship and praise and study of God, loving God in Christ. And the second thing, the church is for organization, or organism rather. It's to build up one another. God gave gifts, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipment of the saints for the work of their ministry. And you know that is obviously a very important verse in, as you've thought about your ministry. For the building up of the body of Christ, not for the winning of the lost at that point. For the building up of the body of Christ. And then it's for the enlarging, of course, of the body. But priority one is to God in the church. Its prime ministry is to God. Secondly, its prime second ministry is to one another, to strengthen each other in the Lord, to love each other in Christ. And thirdly, the ministry of the church is then to the world in evangelism and through missions as well as outreach that way. So that's kind of where we stack it up, as Elvin Wells knows, at Lake Avenue.
Good. Then we can come down, now we've established all this background and for you to, okay, how do we as navigator staff, contacts, relate adequately to the church? So I'd like to kick this off. We'll just go back and forth and we'll throw it open for questions. Maybe make comments from the floor at any time. Feel free to do that. But I'd like to kick it off by saying that I feel that a person's responsibility, every person's responsibility, falls in a five-level category in the church. The first, as Ray has been talking about, is area of worship. If we first go to church to worship. And I think that should cause us all to kind of draw back and think, hey, is that what I do? Do I really go to church to worship God? You know, am I like David when he says, oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee? My soul thirsteth thee for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, dry and thirsty land where no water is. Do you know what the next verse says? Have you memorized Psalm 63:2? I memorized one, but not two. He says, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. As I have seen thee in the sanctuary. You know, or I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, he just wanted to worship God so much he could hardly wait to get there to worship God. So that's the first criterion. The second is for fellowship. We need this koinonia of fellowship of those who love us and care for us. You know, it's great to go and be a part of a body that comes up and puts their arm around and says, hey, you know, how is it today? Oh, brother, I love you. You know, you just go away with your heart rejoice. You go out and you conquer the world. But God's concerned about that. You know, he says, you know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know, we're going to be having that fellowship one with another. Now, I think in James 1, where it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. From above, it comes from the Father of light, you know, with whom is no variable, it's neither shadow of turning. And when we're with God, we're going to be with his people. It's going to keep us on target. That koinonia of fellowship is going to keep us moving in the right direction, and we need that. Then the third thing is we go to learn. We go to be taught. It's the responsibility of the elders to teach. And you know, they have to be apt to teach, 1 Timothy 3 tells us. So we go to be taught of the elders. And in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, you know that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And we in the Navigators basically do not teach doctrine in depth. We teach the how-tos of the ministry, how to disciple people. That's our end of it. We do some of the other, but the doctrine comes from the teaching of the church. So we need to learn, to go to church to learn. Then we need to go to be under the authority of the leaders. You know, Hebrews 13:17 does give us an out on not being under the authority of leadership. And that's the church leadership. We are under their authority. So we go to be there so they can watch what we're doing and give us guidance and control. And then fifth, we go to be involved in the ministry life of the church. We go to say, okay, God, I'm here and I want to be a part of this by serving as well. So it seems to me those are the five areas that we need to approach as individuals, navigators or non-navigators, but to approach in our relationship with the church.
Elvin, this is where it's been so helpful in the relationship that we've had with the NAVs and with you personally. And it's been so great to see, not on the back row, but on the front row, those who have been key people in the Navigator ministry, worshiping God on Sundays. And that really says a lot to people. Obviously, we don't expect everyone at every gathering of the church, because they're not for everyone. But worship is. Worship's for everyone. And it's really neat to see how Elvin and Joyce and the whole gang are there. Not all of them go to Lake Avenue, and that's healthy too. But I know they're in worship wherever they are. And the thing that I see that as the NAVs and the church relate together is that, you know, in order to have a good relationship, you've got to express love and acceptance, don't you? And one of the wonderful things that's happened and to us is that Elvin and then others before him have always expressed that love and acceptance of the church rather than because maybe of insights into ministry they could, some might, feel superior and look down on the ministry of the church. Because the ministry of the church, you know, is not too exciting in some levels. Because, as I say, it's made up of people that are cripples, that are difficult, have a lot of troubles, and so on. And in the smaller ministry of the navigators, you ask, I'm sure you get all kinds. Probably got all kinds of people right here. But in the church, you really get a conglomeration. And I appreciate the fact that there's a respect for the church. And I would encourage you that if you would like to have a healthy ministry with your church, may I suggest that you simply love your pastor and the leaders of the church. Tell them that you appreciate them. I was reading in the Proverbs this morning that it's better to openly rebuke someone than to love secretly. Because nobody knows you love. At least they know, when they know you're mad, if you can really rebuke them, you know. But withholding love is one of the problems in our world today. It's a problem in the church. So I would encourage you to give that loving flow, say, to the pastor where you are. Maybe he's just really hurting, discouraged, defeated, has a lack of leadership, and could be he's seeing you and the gang around you just studying the Word of God, and he says, "Oh my cow, I wish somebody would study the Word of God with me," you know. Well, it might be a good opportunity. You know, when Elvin first came to Lake Avenue, the first thing he did was to look up to see if there was a men's Bible study and prayer group, or discussion and prayer group, which we did have, and he began to come. And in that place, he met some key guys that he saw, and in the Sunday school class he goes to, he met key couples and key people that he could minister to in an in-depth way. And some of them are now the finest leaders in Lake Avenue Church. Not because I spent time with them. I was at the prayer meeting too and would encourage them, but I could not spend the time with them. And it was his specialty to spend the time. He moved in, and his strength God had given him and developed these people. And now the influence of those people is fantastic. And wherever Elvin goes, I mean, you know, these guys are going to carry on in their wives. And they are part of the strength, really the reason for whatever strength we may see at Lake Avenue Church. We've got a lot of weaknesses, but they are part of our wonderful strength. So I would say, develop a love relationship in which you give your heart to that church and pick out key people that you can do this to. And talk up the church to the NAVs and talk up the NAVs to the church. And show that we're on the same team. I really appreciate that, what has happened at Lake Avenue in this way.
The session before this, I was in the session on how to be a team man. And in it, the presentation was given the idea of, if you want to really lead people, you have to be a servant. Mm-hmm. That's scriptural, isn't it? Matthew 20, verses 26 and 27. And I was kind of putting it into our situation. We were talking about the various teams we're on. Your husband and wife is a team, and a family is a team, and there may be a navigator team, and your church is a team, and maybe in that there are teams, your Sunday school class, or if you're on the board of deacons, it's a team. As I thought of that, I thought, I had the privilege last year of being the chairman of the board of deacons at our church, and my term expired, and I yet to be off a year before you can go back on. You have to be on four and off a year before you can go back on, so I'm not on it. And I thought we had a tremendous, tremendous board last year. God blessed it, and people come up and say, "Man, Elvin, thanks for what you're doing with the board of deacons." And I thought, "What am I doing?" Really, I'm serious. I said, you know, God is doing something. But you know, we loved each other on that board. There was a love relationship that existed. We were concerned about each other. We cared for each other. In our meetings, when we got together, You could feel that love and warmth, and we didn't have harangues or disagreements, but we could talk about them and work things out, and just that feeling. And I didn't have anything to do with it. I just happened to be there because everybody loved each other, things went well, and people come up and pat me on the back. You know? I thought, well, that's just like God, isn't it? He does something and then we get the credit. Yeah. He loves to do that. But I think it comes, you know, as we've got to have that love that's there. You know, we love because God loved, and because He loved, we want to love. And then it flows back. And this is part of what Ray's talking about, that we need. You know, it's not going to church because we have to. That's one of the reasons you should go, because God said to do it. But if that were the only reason, it'd be pretty minimal, wouldn't it? Yes, because we have that love relationship. I think another thing that we need to work on is communication. I think every member of the church keeps the leaders in the church posted. We need it. You go away on a trip. Wouldn't you really like to have some of the people in the church praying for you? Or do you just feel head out on the highway and feel, well, man, I'm a good driver. I got this new car and I don't have any problem. Well, Proverbs 20, verse 7 says that safety is of the Lord. I like to have people praying for me. And so I keep Pastor Ortland and our Sunday school class leadership posted on where I am and what I'm doing. I know they pray. I need that. I'm also responsible to them. Therefore, I want them to know what I'm doing. So if they think I'm getting out of line, they can say, hey, let's talk about this situation. So I think we need this area of communication going all the time, so we keep the leadership posted on what we're doing. I think sometimes we feel if we go tell a pastor that next Sunday night we're not going to be at church, that he'll blow his lid. You know, rather than saying, you know, a pastor, I've got these people that I've been trying to get together with, and I just haven't been able to get together with them, and next Sunday they're available, I can go and share Christ with them. I think if you told him that, he'd probably stop right then and pray for you. You know, that's his business too. But we kind of think that because we sometimes can't go to all the meetings, if we tell him what we're doing, he's against us. He's not. He's for us. But we need to communicate that. And I remember one night when I was in charge of the prayer meeting at church. It was the first church prayer meeting I'd been at in 5.5 years at Lake Avenue. So I got up and was in charge of this thing. And so I mentioned that. I said, you know, I have to confess that this is the first one, but I'm not confessing it because it was wrong. It's the only time I've had the opportunity to be here, because Wednesday nights I've had a ministry and between 70 and 80 people become Christians through this Wednesday night ministry. And it's a branch of this church, because this church has been praying for that. Man, everybody there was, you know, cheered, they were happy, they praised God. Man, I knew they were happy with what I was doing. And because some of them already knew what was going on already. But we need that communication to go on if we're going to be a part of that body.
It was interesting. I went over to have a baptismal service with some of these in the ocean. And it was about November, wasn't it?
Something like
it
that.
It was cold. And it was really, really a time to, you know, some of them Jewish and some of them in backgrounds, you know, really, in many cases, a can of worms in their lives, you know. They had really lived vulgar lives, and but God is really changing them. And it was just a very beautiful time. The Lord used that. And then I would, of course, report it back, what God had been doing through Elvin's ministry. These people would never become related to Lake Avenue Church as members. They're too far away. And he, of course, fed them into other churches. But just the joy of knowing that our outreach through him was that way. Area of communications. I think it's important for you to tell, you know, keep the pastor and the key leaders informed as to what's happening, like conferences like this and opportunities for them. I don't know if you've ever encouraged your pastor to go to the NAVS conference for ministers. It'd be a very helpful thing for him to do. And maybe for you to suggest to the board of deacons that they send the pastor there. That's how I got there the first time. They sent me. I didn't have anything to say about it. Of course, I wanted to go anyway, but I didn't. They said, you're going, baby. So I went. And been to the Glen many, many times. But being open about what's happening in your lives, maybe about some struggles that you're having, in your own life. You know, if you would just share meeting each other for prayer on occasion with the pastor and just say, could I come up and just have a word of prayer with you? Man, he'd just flip. I'd be so pleased. And maybe say, there's what God has been saying to me, and I'd just like to give you a verse and encourage you. And then pray for him. Need only take 10 minutes. But it would so encourage him if you would do this. And how rich to do that with some of the men of the church or women of the church for you gals. You know, to say to, like, one of our Miss Hansen sisters, mm-hmm. who are faithfulness personified there in every church, God raised them up, raises them up, to say, you know, you have blessed my life. And could I just have a little time to pray with you sometime? And to thank God in front of them, for them, and give them some scripture, and then tell what God is doing through the ministry of the Nats in your own heart. Be tremendously helpful.
I think it'd be good for us to talk about where we can make the greatest contribution in the ministry then to the local church. I'll mention a couple things and let Ray elaborate on them. But I try to think of the ways in which God has equipped us. Several years ago, someone made a comment about the Navigators. They made it in a derogatory sense, and saying, they said, the Navigators are the most Bible-oriented group in the world today. And they were making it derogatory. It was the greatest compliment I know we could make. Yeah, they could have said that we are oriented to the Bible, because we are. That is true. You know, we believe that God gave us that book that we could just get totally involved in it. So as a result, we have strengths in our knowledge of the Word. And probably the two greatest areas I think of that we can make contributions in the direct church ministry is in teaching classes. I think that most of us, where we work with adults, are more gifted working with adults. But sometimes God gifts us also in working with younger people. But because of our knowledge of the Scriptures, it's very natural for us to be able to go in and guide people in their knowledge and study of the Scriptures. And there are a lot of people who aren't equipped that way, who are available and trying to help because they want to help, but they don't have the knowledge. Now, I do think that in that we need to recognize that a good Sunday school teacher does more than just present a lesson. You know, they're available to the people as well. They do things with them at a social level. They'll try to build the membership of the class that responds, whether they be kids or adults. You were always looking for people to respond and want help. But again, isn't that one of our things that we do in the Navigators? Aren't we looking for people to disciple? So even the framework of that, we take and spend time with those who are responsive to help them grow in discipleship. And I think the other, and this primarily relates more, I suppose, to men than to women, is to help in the spiritual leadership of the church. I think there's a fellow here who has an elective tomorrow, Howard Davis, one on family devotions. And Howard teaches a new membership class at Lake Avenue Church. And he came on the Board of Deacons the same time I did, so we're both off this year. But to be on the Board of Deacons with him, and as things would come up, to have him share, it was always scripturally oriented. And so when we would face issues, there were several of us who had Navigator background, other people who had good Bible background as well, who could say, well, the Bible says this about these things. It changes the whole tenor or direction of that body when you can relate everything to the Scriptures. So I think that here's another place that we can make a contribution, is in that realm, because of our knowledge of the Scriptures.
Hmm. Yes, that's good. I think of a guy like Howard, for instance. You mentioned how the Scripture says, stir up the gift that is in you. And it's been both the Navigators and the church in his life that has helped him to develop that gift. And the gift is teaching. And express his gift as well. He's done it in both areas of the para-church movement, such as NAVS, and then in the church organization, organism itself. I think of other ways, Elvin. For instance, I would encourage you to give to your church. I would encourage you to help your area navigator leader to have a conference in your church. It need not be a large conference, but just to build people. It may, you know, it important is not to have large.
The reason he says that is when we have one-day conferences, our church is a Los Angeles area, we want 1,000 to 1,200 people. So it doesn't always have to be quite that large.
And then I would say not only to attend regularly, but also to attend with the purpose of being there to serve as well. Elvin said, teach, right. Be available for leadership. If you will go to a Bible study, you may well be asked to lead a Bible study. You know what I mean? If you are there, you know, I have a principle that ordinarily, you know, I don't ask someone to do something in the ministry unless they're showing interest first. I never ask them to do something to get their interest, you know. That's like marrying a guy to reform him, you know. Man, you're in for trouble, isn't that right, gals? You never do that. You would advise any girl to turn from that one. But you already see the pastor and the leaders of the church look for people who are available, who are faithful, who are loving and responsive. So give and attend and take part and just show a beautiful spirit. And you will be a significant part of that church in a very short time, I would say. The church, you know, at for instance, our local church is made up of Lance Smith and Nels Ortland and Mama and Papa Smith and Mama and Papa Ortland and all people like this, varied ages. So at every level, I believe that with the emphasis of the navigators, you can have a strong impact with boys and girls, young people, and adults. Every level. And I just see great opportunities for those who have had the privileges of instruction of the navigators. Now I'll just quit with this, Elvin. I probably would not have, I think this probably is true, would not have completed the necessary training to become a pastor if it hadn't been that God put me in touch with the Navs. I might have, but I was trying to think this morning. Maybe it's a little dogmatic to say that I wouldn't have, but who knows, you know. But I owe, really, so much of my attitude toward the Word and toward an attitude of determination to the Navs. I was tampered with by them when I was in Oakland, California, in the days of I served in the Navy, and I've never been the same since. And the Lord really blessed me, and therefore, you see, because of this, I've been able to be used by God in a strange, miraculous way to help others. And I'm sure it's the same with you. You're going, are in, as I am in, the same kind of situation. So I praise God for navigators. Wow, very thankful. I say, let's sick 'em.
We'll add one thing, and then we'll, probably two things, I better change that. Then we'll throw it open to, for questions. One is another of the areas that we can be of service in, and that is in being available to teach special classes. Maybe on Bible study leadership, maybe the basics of the Christian life, the things that we are so well instructed in and do all the time. But that won't happen unless we make ourselves available. And again, the communication factor comes in. The leadership of the church knows if you've talked to them about what God's laid on your heart and what you're doing, what you can and can't do as far as availability. But to make yourself available in that framework so where they will utilize the things that God's equipped you in. I think me personally, one of the great things I enjoy doing is in our Sunday school program is to go in and hold electives in the high school and college departments. I don't get to work with that age much anymore. You know, I moved along the line now, and you know, age is catching up with me. And you know that old saying: if you want to stay young, stay around young people. If you want to die young, try to keep up with them. But anyway, we're around couples now. And but to go back, you know, and these kids who really are turned on to the Lord, and just share some of the basics, and see their eyes light up, you know, and they really get moving. And then maybe 3 or 4 years later, you see them, and they've gotten married, and they're an integral part of the church moving ahead, and they're out doing the same thing, that things they heard. It's exciting. So I think those things we can also do. And then the other, again, just a personal word of testimony from me, that it's going to be tough when we leave Lake Avenue. We have the consolation of knowing that when we go as their representatives as well as Navigator staff people. But it's been a wonderful experience for us to be a part of that church, and just a joy. God, I think we have, about 25 to 30 people from our church here at this conference this weekend. And it just shows the inner working that God's allowed us to have together. Did you know that? They won't be at church on Sunday morning. But now that Ray understands that, yeah. But, well, you know, what a delight to see these things happening. And just as a side personal testimony, I mentioned our oldest daughter's here with her fiancé. They met at our church. And yeah, answer to prayer. Very godly young man. And the fellow who is working with him to disciple him in his walk with the Lord is a fellow that God had gave me the privilege of discipling in our church. You know, you cast your bread upon the waters. What a joy. So what a privilege to be involved in the local church as well as the church around the world. Okay, questions. And we'll let Ray hold this because I think he's going to be the one to probably answer most of these. Let ease first.
I missed the name of the church that you're pastoring.
The Lake Avenue Congregational Church in Pasadena. My name is Ortlund, O-R-T-L-U-N-D.
Mine is Smith.
S-M-Y-T-H-E.
In the contact I've had with Navigators, it seems like Navigators in the past have had some difficulty in working with the church. I was wondering if that is true, but what one of these principles are.
I think Elvin should answer that. I don't know. I have had nothing but happy experiences.
Yes, the Navigator commission to make disciples centered primarily for several years around what we called available pools of manpower in the 18 to 25 age group, which put it then primarily into the military and college. There were only so many people in the staff level, and so the concentration was made in those areas. As a result, many times these are off, they're not located in a place where there often are good churches, and so it was easy for everything to be done in the Navigator framework without a great deal being done in the local churches because of the very assignment. And so it's taken time to get back into the realm of what we know is God's basic plan. Every Navigator staff person is by command, by dictum from headquarters, the board, to be a member of a local church and to be involved in that church. But if your main ministry is on a campus out here and you're hitting that all the time, you can see where it's difficult to switch in the other and to be a part of it other than just worshiping. And so I think it's taking time for us to put all those things together. And
I could throw this in, I think, Elvin, is it might be that in attitude, that here's a fellow that, let's say, he's converted, he was in a church that was dead, it did not help him to find Christ. He gets in touch with some people who have been in Bible studies, in what they call Navigator Bible studies, and he's led by them to Christ, and then he's led in this Bible study. He says, wow, he said, where's the church been all the time? You know, it could be he didn't hear it, or it wasn't being said. Could be that He then goes back to his pastor and he says, how could you be so dumb, you know? And to the leaders of the church, he would say, you know, this church is no church at all. You're a total failure at this. And he may be right, or he may be only part right, or he may be wrong. You know, he could have a Jonas view of things. I think that the problem may come then when in attitude. Second would be, a problem may raise up in scheduling. For instance, if you schedule a NAV conference at the very same time that suppose there's going to be a college weekend in which there are two, you want the same people. Well, this really is a tense situation for you and for the pastor. I suppose that competition in any way, rather than complementing each other, the NAV seeking to complement the work in the ministry of the church. I think that attitude probably might be the biggest problem. I remember when I first came in touch with the NAVs, what went through my mind when I began to question the worth of the ministry of the local church at home in Des Moines, Iowa, to my life. That was very immature of me. They weren't a navigator's organization. There was no one in that church that was assigned to me personally, as a guy in the NAVs took to me personally. And it was his full-time job to do this kind of thing. And man, he did it on me. But no one in our local church either knew how, had that kind of time and availability for me. Now, that's too bad, but that's what happened. And so I began to become very, very disenchanted with my church. I'd write home, and I was a super spiritual to my family. I turned them off a little bit. But then God taught me right away, look out here, man. You know, you're going to blow it with your loved ones. And so I began to talk positively about my church and think and pray positively. And that changed the picture. My brother, when he went in the service, got in contact with the NAVs. He's a pastor now. My mother, at 65 years old, began to memorize Scripture and began to become a student of Scripture. She's with Jesus now. And my brothers were affected. I would say the whole life of our local church was affected. When I got off of the super spirituality kick, and I just went home to bless him when I got home.
Yes, I think that's a very valid part of that, combined with the fact that in being a young organization in years of existence, we also tend to be a young organization in the age of our staff. Some of us are helping change that rapidly, but
just give you time.
Yeah, like Lawrence Hanning of the President of the Navigator says, the longer I live, the older I get. But the
fabulous. Could I write that down?
Yeah. But because of that, being a lot of younger men, some of them being single in the ministry, I don't think anybody ever accused the Navigator staff people not being gung-ho. Not too many. Almost the other way. As a result, you know, these men, and includes me, by the way, in that category, you know, we're out hitting this base or campus and working with these kids, and that becomes your life almost. And before long, it's easy not to see over here. And then, as Ray mentioned, the people you're reaching, they say, well, we weren't reached by the church or helped by the church. And besides, I got 12 verses memorized. I don't know anybody in my church that's got that many.
Pastor doesn't know that many.
And so there was these things that came in, and because there weren't any efforts to work at bridging these things, and because a lot of these men were not family men, we saw these things develop where the ties were not close. But I know very few people who, as they start, you know, marry and the kids come along, but they soon recognize they need that local church. You know, our kids need that fellowship, and they need the teaching and things like that that even we, with all our knowledge, can't give them. God intended, you know, the input to come from many sources, not just one. So I think those are the factors, and I think that's what God is working out a bridge to put it in the right perspective. Good question.
May I suggest something? I'm putting it constructive-like to the staff of the noun. I think we have more problems in several areas, like this gentleman was talking about here. I come from a college town. And where the nouns get their main people when they come in are the Christian kids that are on college campus then. And so they pick them up, take them away to the church, some of the time the church. And that's what gets our pastors all stirred up. Pastors are a jealous group, I guess more so than any other group I know of. And when they interfere that way, then it really does tear things up. It's hard to get the nouns back on even keel. And the nouns are inclined to brag a little too much, maybe, to the pastors and so forth and so on. And that's a natural thing, it's a good thing, and a wholesome thing. But I think the nouns do need to work better with the church ministry. Or let them know why they're there, like you've been talking about today. And I don't believe your area staff, I don't believe that's been stretched to it. Or in my experience.
Thank you. Good comments.
I was just going to say, as he was making that comment, one of the things you mentioned as being the, I think it's one of the ministries that the Navigators have. The third one was to build disciples to reproduce in the local church. Maybe that's one of the areas that we're not stressing enough, the ministry that they can have in the church, not pulling them away.
Yes, the statement was made that perhaps we need to work more on this realm of building disciples in the framework of the local church. And yes, Howard?
Maybe you might state some of the objectives. I understand in 5 years' time there's going to be a considerable amount of staff being devoted to the community's ministry. I don't know the specifics.
Could I tell you what? I have a ministry at the Coliseum at 1 o'clock right. To watch UCLA and SC play football. Now, I love you, but...
But his wife's with him, and you know, that's...
It just so happens that this ticket's waiting to be used. And why don't I let you carry on? You know what I'd say anyway. And... you'd say it better than I do, and so I'll. What if I slip along and you all have a good time? You got some more time yet.
But by the way, that he's true. His heart is as my heart, and that's really true. So I could leave, and he'd say the same thing I'd say. Let me comment on what Howard mentioned. And see, we realize that there have been problems that existed in these relationships, not only with the churches, but with chaplains. And a lot of these factors that come up, the differences, do come from people who are reached and do become super spiritual and convey wrong things. And sometimes it's we ourselves as staff people who do not communicate adequately with the chaplain or pastors. And then sometimes because of limited personnel, our first calling was to reach people on at that base or campus. And a person can only do so much. But as the organization has grown and we've developed people, and there are those of us who are older, we realize that if we're going to do what God called us to, it has to be within the framework of the local churches. That's scriptural. And so every Navigator staff person is commissioned by a local church to their particular ministry. And the thing that Howard mentioned, the community ministry of the Navigators, the thing that Greenaway's in the Bay Area, and Ortley's, and Lovelace's, and Wilbraham's in Denver, and Joyce and I, and the Atkins. Tommy still has a service center in Long Beach, but he does work with us community ministry here. Give ourselves primarily to is this realm of the community ministry, which is couples, working singles, and churches. You interrelate those. And probably within 10 years, this will be the major part of the Navigator ministry.
And in that sees a channeling of the kids and the campuses and bases back into a, what we call a lay life, you know, married, working, how to reach their circle of influence and be involved in the life of their local church. And that is more and more cutting.
Does giving have any, in the way in which we give, you know, tithes and maybe overabundance in that area, giving to faith works, such as Navigators, and there's others as well, does this have any effect on the relationship with the pastor and the elders and the deacon?
Yes, it can. There are two prime areas that pastors logically get upset about, and does happen sometimes, even wrongly too, and that is the area of men and money. Like you mentioned, to take pull people out without making return contribution in men, and same way financially. If we were to go in and draw finances off from the church without making a contribution, then there will be a legitimate complaint. Because the needs around the world are for men who could carry the gospel of Christ effectively in any circumstance, but they have to be supported, which is, again, the job of the local church, isn't it? It's also the job of the Navigators. So if there's a sense of competition, then it can create problems. But the answer to that is, if you're involved in the life of the local church, then that church, because they see what's going on, are willing to commission their people whom God may be separating. For example, the couples that we work with in this area, about 20 key couples I can see in maybe 10 years or less, at least 10 of those will be in the ministry full-time, probably with the Navigators. But all of them, I believe, will be commissioned by the local churches because they're all working in their local churches.
What specific steps do you take for giving? Do you, for example, give all of your funds to the church? And you say you're supporting a missionary, a Navigator missionary, or a Wycliffe Bible translator missionary out there. You give those funds to the church and then designate them for that individual out there, that individual out there, or do you select those off and not give them to the church?
Okay, I'll tell you how I try to handle this with our people. We try to encourage them to do a study on what the Bible says about the area of responsibility in giving. And many churches believe that the tithe belongs to the church. Offerings can go any place they want to go. So rather than saying, well, I don't believe that, or I do believe it, why, we encourage people to get into a study and see what the Bible says. Now, many churches will allow all giving to be channeled through them. For example, I do some giving through not only to our church, but through our church. And our church encourages that. They like people to give to the church and say, okay, we like this, go to this Wycliffe missionary or this Navigator wife. Great. Some churches won't do that. So then I think you have to go to the biblical area of our responsibility of giving, and before God say, okay, where should that giving be? But I think that we always give to where we're ministered, and since we should be going to church, we're going to be giving to that church. But I think if a person really is right with God and giving the way they should be, generally, they'll be giving more to the church if they just gave half their giving, or even maybe a third of the local church. They'll probably be giving more than the average church member gives anyhow. It's illustrated by a story about a couple who gave quite liberally to their church, and the guy lost his job. And so the wife went to the pastor and said, Pastor, my husband lost his job, and of course he's looking around, and we're going to have to cut our giving. Of course, we'll give a 10% of our unemployment, which wasn't a great deal, but so we're, naturally we'll give that. And when he gets a job again, well, we'll be able to give more. So the pastor figured up that if every person in the church were going on unemployment and give 10%, the church's income would double. That's an actual fact, by the way. That's a literal story. So I think really that as long as we search the scriptures where we should give and make sure that we are giving and find out what the church's policies, I think we can handle that without being offensive and yet fulfill what God would lay on our hearts. I think it's an individual thing. I don't think we can draw a blanket, say, because it depends on the church and the individual. I'm not trying to back out on this. I'm just trying to tell you how I feel and what we should do.
I have a question. I don't know if it will reflect your personal misgivings or what, but it seems that kind of a couple or person goes to a Navigator staff, step down in some other. Why is this? Couldn't a person maybe be more effective in their sphere where they've already started in their sphere? Or why are they moved about? So.
Well, I think it's true of businesses the same way. First of all, our responsibility as people should always be to work ourselves out of a job. We should always be developing people, plus ourselves, that other people could do what we're doing and we would never be missed. Like, I hate to think that, you know, that when we leave Los Angeles, we'd be missed. I hope we're not. But at the same time, I trust that the ministry would go on whether, even if the Navigators didn't replace us here. That you all are, and I know that most of you would. Some of our couples we work with are here, by the way. So that you'd keep doing the same things, and you would whether we were here or not. But if we don't move people out, then it limits the opportunities where they are. So when you and Clark, for example, get moved out of that church someplace else, then the couples you're working with should be able to step in and do what you're doing. And you can go someplace where these things aren't being done and help people there. And that's the reason for that.
Okay, that brings up another one of my questions. How long do you labor in a church and you, maybe you don't see any fruit? You know, like you could move out and someone could take your place. And, you know, before saying, well, I'm just not getting anywhere here, maybe I should. That we're running up against that question right now, the fact that after being 3 years or so in the church, there isn't really anybody that could do.
It's because I think the key to a man is always prayer. That's where you begin. And pray that God will bring someone in, always assuming that you will not be where you're going to be and who can take over. But I think anytime you get in the area of where you go to church, there are several factors involved. One is, of course, the leading of God as you pray. But the secondary thing there is the opportunity to worship God. Is the church conducive to that? And the next is, what kind of teaching will your children get? And then the other things go after that. But if you're in a church and these things aren't there, where, for example, you can build people, then I think you start praying, God, would you have us move someplace else?
That list of five things you gave, are they in order of priority? That number one is to worship God?
Yeah, that is an order of priority, as I see it. I'm speaking as Elvin Smith, church member, private citizen. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Worship, fellowship, learning, to be under spiritual leadership authority, and then ministry.
Now,
let me get one question. No, not loyalties, but activities. See, I have equal loyalty. Now, I happen to be a little different circumstance in that my employer is the Navigators. So there are times when I do things because it's my job, like, say, being gone, just as anybody would be. But let's talk about a normal lay situation. I think there it's not a question of loyalty, but of activity. And so you always, this is always a part of life. Who has more time than you can use? Anybody? None of us. So we have to always keep our objectives clear. And if there are conflicts, then we have to decide what is the highest priority for that time and then communicate it. And that really is the key. For example, our Sunday school class has a yearly couples conference. And last year it happened to be scheduled at the same time that Joyce and I had scheduled speaking to couples from a church in the Escondido area. So I asked one of the couples in our class to go with us. We always like to take someone along and, you know, just be with them and they can learn from what we do. But the class had already asked them to take a responsibility for this deal. So as we prayed about it, we had the fellow go and see if there's possibly anybody else that could do it, and they would let him out, but they didn't want to do it. So I didn't have him go with us. So we see, we evaluated the total circumstance to see what was the best for that time, and then communicated that. You another question?
Back. Well, I think you had a hand. Ray Ortman may not be. Let me just not word it that way. Ray Ortlund had a navigator background as a pastor. Most pastors that I've run across have not had that kind of background. And they don't see us from that point of view. They see us more from a competitive point of view. So the kind of relationship that, for example, I could develop with most pastors, I'm not going to be as sweet. I envision, now that might be attitudinal, but I don't envision it would be as sweet as you have with Ray.
Yes. Now let me answer that. I think that if you follow these things we've tried to talk about here in the principles of communication, you're keeping them posted, telling what's on your heart, finding out what's on their heart, praying with them, that'll change. Because I've been in churches that were really anti, I've got to be careful how I say this, I don't want you to pin down the church I was in, but we're not favorable to organizations that existed outside the church, and some more so than others. So, but they were with us. They helped support us in the ministry when we're in that particular place. The pastor and I were very close, even though that other existed. You see, it was almost the opposite of Ray situation.
In other words, God overruled.
Yeah, because we did these principles.
Yes.
And so I think this is what we need to work on: is say, oh yeah, here's how I can do that. And then as we do, communicate, show what God's doing, find out what we can do and do it. Then I think those things come along. Because even a pastor who may be antagonistic, if you're making a contribution to his local church, he loves it. And then that way you can win him. Because he may have had a very valid, bitter experience.
No? No.
Okay. Okay, we've got time for about one or two more and then get you out here in time.
When you send in a staff member to a new area, you encourage him or I to attend church and support and so on. But is it a good idea for him to choose one church and possibly spend all his time in that one church? When maybe he has his now followers and he'll draw kids from say the Presbyterian church over to Baptist church. What do y'all ask your staff members to do? Do they try to support and help any way they can with all the churches in the town, or do they just choose one they might like best, or they can pass the work with them best?
Yeah, the question there is, we send a staff person into an area, particularly I think you talk about a college situation or military, the tendency might be for the kids who are in a church that may not, they're getting everything they'd like, to gravitate toward where some of the Navigator kids are going and where the Navigator rep himself goes. And should the Navigator rep really go to one church, or should he try to visit, go to several others? I believe that was the question. Now, I'm speaking as a general principle because, you know, there are a lot of staff members and Navigators, but we do encourage our Navigator people to go to one church where God leads them for the very reasons I mentioned. You know, church hopping really is not biblical. It doesn't make a difference who it is. And because the basis for why we go to church. In that, however, because of our calling in the ministry, we may have to, or may and should visit other churches in the evenings to encourage them to be involved, maybe take teams in, that type of thing, to minister to them. We do not try to draw people from one church to another. We try to keep people stay and be effective for Christ where they are. At the same time, we can't call the strokes. We do try to guide that situation. Again, if we try to build people where they can be effective, then they can be effective in their local church. Let me give you one illustration. We have a couple who belonged to the Roman Catholic Church, and she was a Christian, but he became a Christian. Today, they are teaching teachers in the whole southwestern diocese of Los Angeles, of the Roman Catholic Church, in how to lead Bible studies. You know, it's fantastic.
I think there's a difference, though, like in young fellows or girls, if they are in a church where they're just not being fed, wouldn't that be different from a couple of like, I know we've run into that. Some of the fellows that, that my husband's in ministry, you have been going to church with us and so on. And, it bothers their parents and so on.
Yes.
They feel they're not being fit there. So what do you do with young people? I think that's different than a couple where they have each other to help them.
Yeah. The question is, what about young people where they may be going to a church where they're not fed? I still think that basically most churches where people are not being fed don't too often have, say, a Sunday evening service. Or if they do, why, it's kind of a, if you come, okay, if you don't come, what difference does it make? And they can go and worship in that church in the morning and be a part of it, and then go to another church in the evening for the preaching ministry. But if we have them in a Bible study and are meeting with them person to person, they should be getting adequate teaching and feeding that way that they can be growing even in what might be a sterile, totally sterile deal. Not that it would be, but it could be. They can still be built up. And who knows what, they may be the salt or the light in that area that God's going to use to trigger things. So I think we always have to evaluate every circumstance on its own basis and not try to draw general principles that apply to everything. Now, I've given you my philosophy, by the way. I think it represents much of Navigator leadership today as we face many of these things. I have the wife of the administrative assistant to the president of the Navigators here. Would you agree, Doris, that that's true? I know that from talking with Bob Stevens, her husband, that he feels the same way, because we've talked about these things. And this is really the way leadership is moving all the time. And the reason why we're having sessions like this in our conferences more and more, how can we relate adequately? Where is the place of the church? As we do this, I think that more and more we'll see things being the way God intended them. Okay, any final comment? If not, Jerry DeYoung, why don't you close in prayer?